This is a voice from beyond the grave. The Ben Heck Podcast. What? Well, because we were dead, remember?
But we're not dead just yet.
Just like Pink.
Yes. What is your opinion of Pink, by the way?
Pink?
Yes. Not the color, but, you know, the artist.
I guess she's okay. I mean, she had that song where she was like, Mocha Chocolata, yeah, yeah. Remember? You remember that? It was on Moulin Rouge, remember?
Oh, yeah, that one. Yes.
And Christina Aguilera was in it, who apparently is a nobody now, but she was burlesque.
Yes.
Your favorite movie.
Well, she went through the reverse of the Hollywood slut machine. Like, she tried to, you know, become, you know, kind of proper and decent, and I guess nobody cares now.
Oh, yeah. Maybe you should explain the Hollywood slut machine to our listeners. And give us some examples of people that went through it.
Let's see. Yeah. Well, prime example. See, the Hollywood slut machine is where, you know, you have some actress or singer, you know, whatever, that, you know, they're fairly wholesome image and all that, but then, you know, you got to, like, whore them up a bit, you know, to try to boost album sales or whatever. And so a prime recent example of this would be Nelly Furtado, who, of course, back in her, you know, I'm Like a Bird days, she was this, you know, very wholesome, you know, pretty woman and all that. But then when she went, like, Timbaland, she kind of went through the skank machine. You know, she suddenly was wearing, you know, more revealing clothing and all whored up and everything, so.
And Faith Hill, remember?
Oh,
she, like,
yeah.
Looked like a soccer mom, but then she became popular, and then she turned into, like, this temptress of the night or something?
Yes, that's right.
Let's see, who else went through the Hollywood? Well, Shakira, I mean, like, when she was, like, in Mexico or wherever she's from,
yeah,
she had, like, black hair. She looked completely different.
Oh.
But then Hollywood whore machine, like, bleached her out and made her crawl through some mud, and I guess it worked.
And then she had, like, a seizure in a cage or whatever the hell happened.
Oh, you mean
that one
when
video.
She became a she-wolf?
Yeah.
Ah, woo! So I remember where I was when I first... I was driving through Wisconsin Dells. And it was... All the Phibs were leaving Wisconsin Dells for the weekend, so the traffic was super slow. And the song came on the radio, and I'm like, this sounds like Shakira. And then she's like, there's a she-wolf in your closet. And then she howls. And I'm like, oh, that's just hilarious. So I immediately went home and downloaded it off Amazon.
I think somebody, I don't know if it was Dale or who it was, but they posted the video on Facebook, and I saw it, and I'm like, oh my god, this is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen.
Yeah. So I guess, okay, so this Kesha.
Oh god.
Will she go through the reverse Hollywood slot machine like Christina Aguilera?
I think she'll probably just disappear, don't you think?
I would hope so.
Because she's the one who apparently thinks, like, Mick Jagger's, like, something special.
Oh, yeah, because...
What's her line?
Like, the boys all want us because they hear we got swagger, but we'll kick them to the curb unless they look like Mick Jagger.
Yeah, obviously she's never seen a picture of Mick Jagger.
Yes, Mick Jagger has sex because he's rich. Not
this
because
just
of what he
in.
Looks like. I'm sorry, Mick Jagger, but it's true. But Taylor Swift has some pretty stupid music, too.
Yeah.
I know you claim to have never heard it, which is, I think, is theoretically impossible.
Well, no, I don't claim anymore, because on the NFL kickoff game this year, like in New Orleans, they had her at the beginning of it, and she did, like, two songs. But, honestly, that was the first time I'd ever heard any of her music.
So, in her big popular song, which is called Love Story, where... She waxes poetically about being 15 years old, so it's about like 2 years ago. Her line is, you were Romeo, I was the scarlet letter. It's like, really? You were an A stitched onto a jacket? Does she even know what she's talking about?
I don't think so. She's like, I'll just make random literary references, and obviously that means I'm smart.
I guess she's apparently the new Shania Twain.
She's rich. What is it, like John Mayer's banging her now or something?
John Mayer bangs everybody.
This just in, the Ben Heck Podcast has turned into a gossip show, so.
No, serious, like, okay, so John Mayer had the song Your Body is a Wonderland, which was about, was when he was banging Jennifer Love, huge tits.
Okay.
And then he banged Jennifer Aniston, who just has fairly normal-sized tits.
Yes.
And then, who was it, Minka Kelly from Friday Night Lights, and apparently now Taylor Swift. There was a funny thing on Family Guy, which I don't usually like, but there's a part where the dog and the baby were going around putting graffiti on the town. And one of the graffitis they put on the side of a gas station was, "Enough, John Mayer." It was kind of funny. Well, songs are always the same. It's like, it's heartbreak warfare. It's like all this. Maybe what? That's what chicks like. I don't know. Maybe that's how you get women, is just sing all this wussy
just
music.
Just be a weepy puss.
What about Michael Jackson, though? Like, now he's dead.
Yes, he is.
I read that he's now. He is.
Is he richer now that he's dead?
I think he actually is the most successful posthumous singer now. I think he surpassed
Elvis.
Even
past Elvis?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you know.
And Lennon, too?
Oh, I'm sure Elvis is far past
him. I'm sure Elvis is past him, but yeah.
Well, I think Elvis makes like $40 million a year still. And yeah, dead, he makes more than most people will in their whole life.
Isn't that just depressing?
Nah, I don't know about
that. Well, I don't know if it's depressing, but.
I think it's kind of depressing. Like, Michael Jackson had to die for people to like him again.
Yeah, for people to not call him a pedophile.
And his poor sister. I mean, it's like, people. Yeah. Justin Timberlake is the one who ripped off her clothes.
Yeah.
But no, he gets to keep banging Jessica Biel, while Janet Jackson, like, is the bad woman. Of course, because her last name is Jackson.
Yes.
It's so bullshit. Yeah. I think, you know, maybe people are jealous of the Jacksons, because, well, at least two of them are really successful.
What about LaToya?
What does he or she do? Maybe we should talk about video games at some
point. Oh.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we want to hear talk about the music industry all day long.
Yes.
But, you know, okay. Hollywood Whore Machine, yes or no? Lady Gaga.
No.
She was already always
She was already
weird.
Like that.
But she just got weirder.
Yeah.
And skinnier, which is another thing that happens.
She's basically the new Madonna.
I think of all the new Madonnas that have come and gone, I really think Lady Gaga is, because she's really successful.
Yeah.
And her music has this, like, sickening, addictive nutness to it. I just can't explain
I mean, she's got some catchy stuff.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Okay, what about that?
To bring it into video games, I downloaded a 4-pack of her songs on Rock Band, because they had them cheap, like, after Black Friday. I think it was, like, $2.50 for, like, 4 songs.
Which ones were they?
What is it? It's like, well, Poker Face, of course. And then Just Dance.
Bad Romance.
And Bad Romance is in there, and then I think Monster is the other one.
What about Telephone?
That one is not one
Have
of
you
them.
Seen the video for that?
It's Is nuts. That the one with the cigarette glasses, where they're like in the prison?
Yeah, she has glasses made out of cigarettes. She has Coke can curlers. Then her and Beyonce kill an entire cafe full of people. Then she makes a sandwich. And then Beyonce says something like, "You shouldn't have taken all my honey." And then, like, her boyfriend dies. And they drive around. You've never. You should go. You should. You'd
yeah,
like
I've watched part. I think I watched the beginning.
It's
I don't
insane.
Think I watched the whole thing, though. Because I had to see, like, the cigarette glasses.
Well, you know, she's kind of brought back the lost art of the music video. So that's another thing that's interesting about her.
Yeah, she's kind of like Marilyn Manson and Madonna rolled into one. Like, she's got the shock thing going.
Yes. So, okay, what about the Katy Perry Sesame Street boob thing? I mean, talk about horse shit.
I have no problem with Katy Perry's boobs, so
It's just so unfair, like.
And most of these kids have breastfed at one time or other in their lives, so, I mean, what's the problem?
It's just a bunch of uptight soccer moms.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we've talked about this before. I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, but breasts in advertising?
I don't know if we have.
We never talked about that?
No.
Maybe I had to talk with Silver Fox. The Ben Heck Show ad agency. There, a reference to the Ben Heck Show. Well, advertisers hate breasts because women hate breasts.
Oh, well, yeah, because all advertising is geared toward women. Or at least the overwhelming majority of it is, anyway.
Right, and they always have the stupid husbands or whatever.
Yes.
But if you watch any advertisement, the woman's never, like, they're never overweight, but they're always, like, real thin, and they can't have breasts. And I don't know, I've seen some ads where, or, like, still picture ads, like, they de-emphasize the breasts. Like, they must actually literally go into Photoshop and do it. It's like the average American is overweight, so average people have noticeable breasts.
Yeah.
But not according to the media. It's so dumb.
Lame.
Yes. But, of course, they're selling it to women.
Yes, Katy Perry's breasts are fine, and I'm sure that, you know, Big Bird and Oscar had no problem with her rolling through Sesame Street.
So it's not okay to have a woman with breasts on the show, but it's okay for the kids to watch this retarded red colored. I mean, Elmo is like, he's an idiot. He sounds like a baby.
He's a freaking tool.
He's stupid. It's like, he's a much worse role model for the kids than Katy Perry.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, I'm Elmo. I don't know anything. I'm the most popular character. Because America is stupid.
Speaking of music videos, what about the one with, like, Snoop Dogg and, like, Katy Perry's in Candyland?
Oh,
with,
California
like,
Girls?
Yeah, with, like, what does she have, like, whipped cream things on her tits?
Well, she has a cupcake bra, but then, yeah, she shoots out whipped cream.
Yeah.
She was lactating big time that day.
It's hilarious on, like, the Zune interface they have on Xbox Live now where you can listen to music through the Zune Pass. They'll, like, pop different pictures up while you're listening. So if you're listening to Katy Perry, like, one of the pictures that pops up is her just standing there with, like, the whipped cream cannon sticking off of her boobs. It's just so hilarious. It's like, wow, she has great self-esteem to be able to be out there like that. Oh, God. It's just hilarious.
Mm. Oh, excuse me. Speaking of recording artists and breasts, I see that the Super Bowl is going to have an act for halftime that's under 70.
What? What will the AARP do about this?
I don't know.
I mean, so what is it, like, the Black Eyed Peas with Fergie?
Since Nipplegate, it's all been like 70-year-old rockers.
Wasn't it like Tom Petty and the Rolling Stones and the Who?
The Who
was last year, I think. Did they ever get Springsteen? They should have if they haven't.
I think they did. Let's see. Is he over 50 and has no boobs?
Yes.
Okay. So, yes. He's been in the Super Bowl the last six years.
Makes sense.
So, you know what's going to happen before the show? They're going to be like rolling duct tape around Fergie for like 10 minutes.
She'll look like a mummy.
Yep. And then Lapidus will come by and say, look at that rump roast. Okay. Maybe we should move on to .org. Past the...
Lapidus.
The music stuff.
Also known as Jeff Fahey, but he's just Lapidus.
He's Lapidus to me. Oh, so we were talking about the lost pinball that we're building now for Jones.
Yes.
Why don't you talk about that, Jones, since you're a machine.
Oh, well, back when Ben was building Bill Paxton Pinball, you know, of course we would sit around while building it or working on it or whatever and talking about other ideas for pinball machines. And so the one... that came up a lot was Lost Pinball, of course, and then recently I bought a pinball machine of my own, the Lord of the Rings one, and then I was like, well, shit, we should just go ahead and build this goddamn thing. So
that's the spirit.
And Ben's got his shop now, and he's got his shop bot, so he can build all sorts of amazing things. And so it'll be kind of like the first pass for a new pinball machine to come out of it so that Ben can build, like, other things down the road. But, we've been coming up with ideas for modes and things, but, you know, we'll hang on to all those until it's finished, and then, you know, we'll have the big reveal of its awesomeness.
Yes, I don't know how long it'll take to build, but...
It should be pretty pimp if we can do... even, like, half of what we want to do, so...
Well, what we were thinking is that you will think of what you want on the board while I work on the system.
Yep.
Because I'm still working on the system. But it is going to be more advanced than the Bill Paxton pinball machine, which I know was clearly the most advanced pinball machine ever made.
Well, we already had our first casualty, first collateral damage.
Yeah, I might have accidentally wired up a Williams flipper wrong.
And so there's a dead solenoid.
Yep, so I gotta get a new solenoid for it. Oh, well.
That happens, though.
Yeah, I know. Well, I had the weak Gottlieb flippers on PAX, and I just wasn't ready for this high-powered stuff. So, yeah, we got the highest-powered Williams flipper assembly we can for the new system.
And the flippers are one's black and one's white.
Just like
in Lost with the Man in Black and Jacob when they're playing their... game of fate or whatever the hell it is. So,
you know what we could do maybe is once we do that rapid prototyping system, maybe we could, like, well, I don't know if you could take it home if you'd want to, but
if you could, like, play around with it. Yeah.
Yeah, divvy up. Well, this place is on your way home from work, so maybe you can kind of work on that stuff.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you understood the point of that. So I make this little building block, then you just move them around quite easily and then just lay it back down and then redo the shots.
Yep. Makes sense.
Yeah, so, let's see, tomorrow... Wait, that says nothing to do with podcasts, so never mind. So let's talk about some of the games we played this year.
Well, what was it? Like, the last podcast, I think, was the E3 one, where we recorded it when we were at E3.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's been, like, what, 6 months?
Remember that. Maria Saul's, the restaurant with the, what was it, the giant margarita?
Yeah.
Of course I drank.
Oh, of course.
And of course, it was like $22 or something.
And then we were there when the Lakers won the championship.
The traffic wasn't too bad. I think we got out. I mean, it was bad.
Yeah, we escaped at the right moment. They did have that one street all blocked off, though, so we had to, like, kind of go back around. But
remember then later that night we were at the bar or whatever, and we saw cars on fire on the news?
Yeah.
Good thing we got out of there when we did.
Yeah. It's like, well, I did get the insurance on the rental car, so hopefully they covered, like, Lakers championship celebration.
Well, I would hope so. It was in L.A. But that was cool. And then, yeah, I guess that was our last podcast. Well, I mean, pretty much after that, I started working on the show. I mean,
yeah,
the show takes up a lot of time. I mean, definitely. Because it's like, oh, it's only 15 minutes. Well, if 15 minutes of finished show means it's probably at least an hour of footage, at least.
Yeah.
And then all the editing. So it takes up a good amount of time.
And actually the time of doing the projects and everything that make up the content of the show.
So. Yeah, it's a miracle we actually get them out as fast as we do. Then, of course, then there's all the Battlefield Bad Company playing.
So what?
I did an interview with Game Informer earlier, and the guy's like, what's your favorite game this year? And I'm like, well, I guess Battlefield Bad Company 2, since I've played it. I didn't tell him how many hours I played it, but I'll mention here. I have 254 hours on it, which is more than 10 days.
Yes, and I just cracked 200, which is insane. I have to think that's got to be the game I've played more than any other, like, ever.
No, I think it's fun because, you know, like, you, me, Mike, Parker, Worf.
Yeah.
It's like a group of, like, at least four or five of us that any given night you can get some of us together, so that makes it fun.
Yeah. Well, and we, except for Worf, we, like, all know each other in the real world, you know,
right.
So that helps a lot, too, because it's... I've gone on and played it, you know, by myself a bit, and I mean, it's still fun, but it's like after, you know, like two, three matches, you're just kind of like, I'll do something else. But if it's like all of us playing, God, you'll just lose track of time.
And we demolish everyone because we are squad awesome.
That's right. So if you see the awesome tags in your server, you might as well just leave.
Well, it's the PC version, but yes. You should just leave.
Yes.
Unless you want to be cannon fodder.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then there was one night, I think Mike had been drinking, well, of course, because he's playing Battlefield. And he's like, he types, I am omnipresent. And you're like, what kind of trash talk is that? And then he's like, I am a deity! I'm like, well, of course, I mean, you're omnipresent.
Oh, my God. When Mike gets going, it's just so hilarious.
Oh,
I just about die some nights because I'll be like, I'm a fucking god.
Do you remember the Greeley's party after the menu board thing?
Oh, where he passed out after?
Well, before he did, maybe it wasn't that night, but yeah, if Mike gets all drunk, you can just sit there and listen to him. I don't know. It was one of those parties at Jordy's, and we all just sat there listening to Mike be drunk, and it was hilarious. So, but yeah, but that night, it was so dumb. He was the last person to get there.
Yeah, you got there like at 9, and by 10...
Oh, no, it was later. It was like...
It was a little after 9,
He was
but,
the last person to get there.
Yeah, but then he was out asleep on the floor by like 10:30.
Right.
It was just pathetic.
And so then there was, what was her name, Applesauce?
Yes,
I'm like, I can't remember what her real name was, but I'm like, look what I found. And I'm like... It was a marker. I'm like, you know what to do. And, she really went to town.
And, of course, he wound up with, like, what, a dick on his face. And who knows what the hell else was on it. And then didn't Megan drive him home?
No.
Or she drove him back to his vehicle
the next day.
Because he stayed at Jody's. Yeah, she drove him. And, of course, he had this stuff, like, all over his face.
I don't think he even knew that until he got home.
No,
like,
he didn't.
Next day. So he's like...
Because
they gave me a weird look when I stopped at the store for cigarettes.
Yeah, I was just gonna say because he said he stopped at the Boaz Country Store.
Well, come on, he passed out at 10:30.
Yeah, it's just come on.
Yeah. So anyway, Battlefield was a lot of fun. Did you play Red Dead Redemption?
I did. I haven't finished it yet. That one's kind of a weird one. Like I played the hell out of it for quite a while, and then I just stopped. But I'll go back at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good game, but I don't...
Spend a lot of time looking at a horse's ass in it, though. You know, like, you're when like, you're going writing, to like Grover. Yeah. It's like, what? And he tells the story of like, why he came to the, he tells his backstory like to everyone he comes across.
Yeah.
Kind of gets repetitive.
Yeah.
And then for some reason I bought Halo Reach.
Oh yeah. For some reason I did. Well, we hoped that we were going to recapture the Halo 3 glory days.
Oh,
but,
that was fun.
But the, we quickly realized that Halo Reach is far too serious. It doesn't have like the cheesy B-movie goodness that Halo 3 had going on.
I'm a thief, but I keep what I steal.
I'm sure people that are really into Halo, they probably loved Reach, but it's like for us, we just wanted like cheese and nonsense, and it just wasn't there. So
it wasn't as fun. So sorry, Halo Reach. what other game came out this? Oh, Fallout Buggy Vegas.
Oh yeah,
easily the buggiest released game I've ever played.
Wow,
I mean.
Fallout 3 was kind of buggy. It wasn't, like, ridiculously buggy, but it definitely had its fair share of glitches.
I guess the patch came out for Fallout today, so...
Oh, yeah.
Because I was talking... Well, we mentioned that earlier. He's like, I think the patch either came out yesterday or today. I'm like, well, it didn't come out yesterday, because I was playing it last night, and my companion was stuck in a rock. Oh, it's... I mean, it's... It is still a Fallout game, you know?
Yeah.
But, oh, it is... Yeah, it compared to Fallout 3, it's incredibly buggy. I mean, I had Fallout 3 crash once or twice, but...
Yeah, I had it crash a few times on me, and then there was just kind of a couple, like, weird glitchy things that happened, but it wasn't terrible.
I was glad to hear that Elder Scrolls V, which shouldn't have been any surprise that they were making,
yes.
Has a new engine.
So. Yep. It'll be pimp.
I guess I get the PC version.
You could.
These consoles just getting old. Like Bela Lugosi.
Like Bella, yeah.
I bet you Xbox pulls a Nintendo and just says, okay, it's Xbox architecture. It has four times the RAM and maybe a little better GPU.
There's really no reason not to do that. I mean, the processor's still perfectly fine. And
and
then they could maintain backward compatibility mm-hmm. with everything that's out there.
And the developers they would say, oh, I have more RAM now. That's all they want. That's
yeah.
I mean, that's the reason why the games, most of them don't run in HD and don't have anti-aliasing, just not enough RAM.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, even like 2 gigs would be a blessing from the gods it is. Oh, crap, that was going to be our Christmas episode. I guess we don't have time to do that, remember?
Yeah, I guess we're going to fail.
Our idea for our Christmas episode this year was we were going to, probably like you, me, and Dale, and we were going to recreate...
The Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
Like we were basically just going to read the script.
Yep.
It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
They must be dead by now.
Nubian, we've got lots of that. It'd be cheaper to buy a new ship, though. Oh, we got at least one Jar Jar impression. Go.
Oh, God. Why am I drawing a blank now? Oh, wait, here we go. Better dead here than dead at the core. Ye gods, what the Misa's saying?
And don't forget Natalie Portman, who sounds like she came back from the dentist in that whole movie. I don't know, sanity that leads to war. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's true, we didn't have a special Christmas intro this year.
No, we damn failed.
It. I know, it's we had Mel Gibson's The Nativity Story, which was great.
Yep, Herod.
Yep, I guess I could just rerun one.
Yeah.
How the Jack Stole Christmas.
Yeah.
Oh, of course, now Arnold Schwarzenegger is trying to steal Christmas.
Ugh, Arnold.
I know you're a big Arnold fan, I am too, but that is horseshit.
Oh, it's so hypocritical.
I know! Well, okay, when Terminator 2 came out, of course, now we're talking about the Californian video game law they're trying to pass.
Yeah, that's up to the Supreme Court now.
That's been knocked down how many times, and they keep...
Yeah, they just keep pushing it.
It's like, California, you have no money. Why are you wasting your money on this? Over and over. Well, because they're like, oh, then we can find retailers. I mean, it's all about money.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, in 1991, when Terminator 2 came out, I remember, like, they had, you know, like, on TV, their commercials for toys. Do you remember these toys? It was a robot endoskeleton, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you could put the skin on it.
Oh, yeah.
It was actually kind of
cool.
Then you could, like, the skin get ripped off and battle damage. But it was a commercial, and it was probably on, like, after school.
Yeah.
And they were, like, in the commercial, they're like 10-year-olds playing with the toys. and is an R-rated movie starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. Mm-hmm. But now Arnold wants to have all these draconian game laws. Yep. It's like, what a freaking hypocrite.
Yeah, it's lame.
Yeah, it's...
Well, at least Arnold won't be governor anymore in, like, another, what, month or so?
Well, yeah, didn't that... They dug up that old guy, right? Jerry Brown, or whatever his name was?
Yeah, and he won. So now Arnold will, I guess, moveon.org.
Well, the thing that people don't realize that upsets me, and it's the same problem with all sorts of, like, losing your rights in this country, is they think if it doesn't affect them, that it's not a problem.
Yeah, but okay, it's a slippery slope.
Well, here it will affect you, because here it is. Okay, let's say you're 18 and you can buy whatever game you want. It's like, oh, well, this law does not affect me. That is incorrect. If they pass a law saying there's a $500 fine for a retailer who sells a game to a minor, a retailer like Walmart will say, that is not worth the risk. We will not stock this game.
Yep.
If a retailer like Walmart decides that, companies game will not over. Make those games.
Yep.
And it'll be like Australia, you know, where and it's like, there shouldn't be this fine line. I mean, almost all the top selling games are all rated M.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the big game sales is either Mario or Wii Fit in the title, and then M-rated games like Halo, Red Dead Redemption, Black Ops,
Gears of War,
all M-rated.
And it's like, guess what? It's because, big surprise, most of the people who play games are over the age of 18, and they have expendable income.
Because most of the people in the world are over the age of 18.
Yes.
It's amazing how many laws are passed for the children when so few people in the world are children.
Yes. Well, the thing that sucks about that is, I mean, it's a penalty against business again. It's just ridiculous. It's like a lot of these game developers are American companies, are employing Americans. Yeah, you know, and it's like you do that sort of shit, it's going to make some of them disappear or, you know, have to cut staff anyway, and it's just ridiculous.
And, you know, there were examples. For instance, Oblivion was a good example where it was rated T.
Yeah, then there was like a hack that somebody did on the computer where it was like a skin thing.
And it wasn't just that. It was, at that time, the game developer submitted what it thought to be the most offensive parts of the game for rating.
That's right, yeah.
And Oblivion had some pretty gory stuff in it,
right?
I mean, so that was kind of an example where it had to go back and re-rate it. No, I can agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, it should have been M.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of slid that one by. But the thing, I mean, it's like when you become older, like, you know, when you're a kid, like, if a movie's rated R, it's a big deal. But nowadays, you don't even care. Notice, like, what was it? Uncharted 2 was rated teen. And I'm like, wow, I would have thought that was rated M, but it was a teen-rated game. You just don't even care. The real trick is the parents don't care either. That is what the politicians will not acknowledge. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what I was buying at Best Buy, probably something. And, like, some old woman was like, I need Assassin's Creed Brothers. And I'm thinking, I'm pretty sure that lady's not going to go home and play it. It's probably for her 10-year-old grandson.
Yeah.
And I was at GameStop one time, sad to say. And there's like this grandma and her 10-year-old grandson. And he runs up the shelf, grabs Modern Warfare 2, takes it up, and she buys it for him.
Yep.
That is what happens. That is the truth. No law will affect that.
Yeah.
Jack Thompson's even said that. He's like, you know, in a perfect world, that's the way it should be.
Yeah. But,
you know, because these kids, these parents just do not care. If it shuts their kid up, they don't care.
Well, that's what I liked about, for the people out there that may not have read it or whatever, but Jack Thompson, I think it was on GameSpy.
Yes.
There's like an interview with him, and it's actually very interesting because, you know, you just hear about this, you know, evil Jack Thompson all the time and hear him painted a certain way and all that, but then you read what he has to say, and it all makes sense. You know, it's all, like, dead on. He's like, I don't hate video games. He's like, you know, but here's where I stand, and it's
good. He had a good point. I mean, he said he wants to, well, he wanted to protect the kids so that things like the California law don't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because he knows that that's the danger. I think the biggest problem with video games still is just that they're associated with being like a toy. Like, they're associated with children. And
well, everyone
it's
in politics is old. They don't know any better.
I know, but I mean, it's so not true because it's like, you know, why aren't you going to fine Walmart for selling an R-rated movie to a 12-year-old?
Which there's no law against it. Or,
you know, I'm not saying they should, but it's like, why are they singling out video games? And it's
like,
because video games are associated with children.
We went to Piranha, that terrible, bad movie. And there was, like, some woman, she had, like, what, 5 or 6 year olds were in there?
Yeah.
Because Because parents won't get freaking babysitters anymore either, so parents don't give a crap.
Nope.
It's like, and you know what? If the parent decides that they don't care if they want their kid to play a game, they're a bad parent. I mean, the thing is, but Arnold or any other one else in government loves to blame everything on the big corporations, and then people bitch about not being able to find jobs. But they blame corporations because they can't blame voters.
Yeah.
And it's a perfect example of it.
Oh, sure it is.
It's like, here's the big, bad, evil video game company. Not the stupid parents who don't care what their kids are playing, so they'll shut up.
Yeah.
No, it is the big, bad, evil video game company. If Arnold... Okay, oh, wait, no. If a bunch of Mormons in Utah wanted to have some sort of decency bill for films and theaters, people would throw a shit stink, you know, like in Hollywood.
Yeah.
They would be all over it, but video games doesn't matter?
Yeah, I don't understand. Well, to Hollywood, video games are a threat.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're probably all on board.
Actually, they're not even a threat
this.
Anymore. I mean, video games
won. Yeah, they've surpassed them. But yeah, I don't know. It's unfortunate, but hopefully the Supreme Court, you know, does the right thing. It kind of sounded like they were leaning that way just by comments of the different justices during the hearings.
Well, they basically were saying, like, okay, well, how come this isn't okay for games, but it's okay for, like, Looney Tunes and cartoons? Mm-hmm. And it's totally true. I mean...
Yeah.
I think another thing that people don't understand is people kind of underestimate children.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's... The murder and crime rate actually is the lowest it's been in decades.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's... Yeah, I don't know what necessarily brings that about, but and it's like it's not turning these kids into killers.
No.
And you know, guess what? People got killed before video games.
Well, part of the thing too is I think.
The Supreme Court brought up the Bible. They're like, there's tons of violence in the Bible. The Bible is very violent.
Yeah, it is.
Lobbing heads off babies, cutting babies in half.
Yeah. But I think
all that stuff that happened in Indiana Jones.
But, yeah, I don't know. I think... I don't know. I lost my train of thought now. But it's just people, I don't know. They just latch onto something, and it's easier to fault some big, you know, evil corporation than it is to point the finger at themselves. And
that's
what it all boils down to. But it's just, I don't know. It's ridiculous. Like,
well, I don't even think... I mean, do you think most parents even give a crap?
No.
I mean, they already don't give a crap.
They pretend they do, but they really don't. They give a crap about is that they can come home at night and they can get, like, a little, you know, a couple hours of peace.
You want your kids not make noise? Don't have kids. They'll be super quiet.
Yeah. It's an easy solution. It's a lot cheaper, too.
Yes. We were having that conversation earlier.
Yes.
It's not a good way to make it far with women. Well, I mean, I blatantly say I don't like kids. I make no secrets about it. But it's true. I mean, it's cheaper and...
Yeah.
You know, why do people drive these big expensive tank cars? Because of kids. Why do people have super expensive healthcare? Because of kids. Why do people have to go buy a house they can't afford? Because of kids. All these things happen because of kids.
Yeah. And then they also don't get to do a lot of the things they want to do with their lives because of kids. Like, they can't take vacations they want to take or, you know, they can't... go and, you know, buy the car they want or, you know, whatever it may be, but, you know,
yeah,
you have
like,
to make a lot
of
sacrifices.
If I want to go home and play Battlefield for 4 hours, which I probably will tonight, I can do that because I'm not letting down any kids. I'm not being irresponsible.
Yeah. Exactly.
The end.
Yes, back to 2010, I would say
the year we make contact, which is actually an okay movie. Did you ever see that?
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't bad.
It's all right.
Yeah. Roy Scheider running around.
Will I dream? Did you ever see Psycho 2?
No.
It's kind of like that. It's like much better than you'd ever think.
Hmm.
Yeah. Because it's like, what's his face gets out of prison? The killer guy?
Yeah, Anthony Hopkins.
Yes.
Or Perkins, not Hopkins.
Yes. The guy who's in Judge Roy Bean. And he's trying to like live a normal life and he gets like a job. But then there's like another killer. So, of course, everyone thinks did it.
It's him, huh?
And you actually almost feel sorry for him. It's not bad.
Hmm.
Exorcist 2, that's different.
Yeah.
So, oh, yes, 2010 games. Let's see. Battlefield Bad Company.
Well, Mass Effect 2, which came out very early in the year, but it is a 2010 game, would rank as my number one for the year. It's just...
Yes, I've heard you rave about it on many occasions.
Yes. don't know, it's just so cool because it's like, it's really neat because you really feel like you're a part of the game. Like, it's, you get to create your character so they look, you know, unique, like, so it's like your character, your game, your story, and all that. And like, it's funny whenever I see a Mass Effect commercial, because I'm like, who the hell's that guy? Because it's my Shepard doesn't look anything like him. And it's just neat, like, how they did the stuff where they pulled in your choices and things that occurred in the first game, and that affects the story in the second game. Like, certain characters will be dead if they died in the first game, and it impacts the way the story goes and things you can do and certain allies you can make, or even just small characters you ran across in the first game, they'll pop up in a bit larger role this time, and depending on how you treated them or helped them out or chose not to, it impacts what they're willing to do for you in part two. And I don't know, it's just a really neat story to it, and it's a beautiful game, and just the, I mean, you feel like you're playing a movie in it, because the way the whole dialogue trees work, like, you have, they, like, shoot the scenes like it's a movie, like, you have different camera angles on the characters when they're talking, and then you have your dialogue trees, so you're, like, grabbing what you're saying as they're talking, and it just keeps flowing. It's not like a Fallout 3, which, great game, but, you know,
comes,
you have
this
text come up, and there's a dead stop, you click something, and then something happens, then dead stop, click.
But all the characters have the same lame animation.
Yeah. So it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, after you play a game like that, you know, it's kind of hard to go back. It's like environmental destruction in Bad Company 2 once you have that. And then you go back and play, like, Halo Reach, you're just like, what the hell, I can't go through this fence, I have to, like, go around this, you know, or I can't shoot that wall. It's one of those things where it's like a game changer, you know, you can't go back.
Yeah, I don't think EA gets enough credit, you know, they really try. Like, Dead Space was awesome. Yeah, but apparently everyone just laps up Activision stuff.
Yeah, which I don't get, because, I mean, like we've talked about before, like, EA, you know, they were kind of like the big evil company, but now they've kind of come around and they're, like, doing good stuff again, and then now Activision's kind of assumed the mantle of being the evil company and things like that. I mean, not really evil, but I mean, yeah, like, they drove Guitar Hero into the ground because they just...
Yeah, definitely.
You know, they...
Well, you could say they drove the whole genre into the ground.
Yeah, I mean, really, because they weren't satisfied with bringing out one monster-selling game each year.
Yeah,
they had
weren't
to bring
they up
out,
to,
like
11 SKUs in one year? Like, what,
yeah, it was just obscene, because, yeah, it was like... What was it? It was like whatever Guitar Hero game, and then they had Band Hero, they had Guitar Hero Van Halen, what else was there? There's probably like a Guitar Hero DS game mixed in there. There's probably some other band-centric game. Well, they had Guitar Hero Metallica earlier in that same year.
And Aerosmith was getting made as well.
Yeah.
Well, what about Rock Band 3? I know you're a big fan of that.
It's pretty pimp. Yeah, I like it a lot. They did some really cool things with it, like, as far as... I mean, I'm a little disappointed that there's not, like, a world tour mode in it like the previous two games had. There's something that's kind of a replacement for it that's okay. But mainly they brought these challenge things into it, which are pretty cool, where it'll be, like, you know, beat X number of songs on Expert, you know, with 5 stars, or they... generate them as well based off of the DLC you have. So, like, when I downloaded that Lady Gaga pack, then a challenge popped up for the Lady Gaga songs, you know, like, to, you know, on vocals or something, get 5 stars on all the songs on, you know, medium or higher, whatever it was. But it does a very good job of integrating the DLC into the game, which is pretty important considering they've got over 2,000 songs available for it now. And then you can import, like, Green Day and Lego Rock Band and the other rock bands into it, except for Beatles, of course, which is unfortunate because it basically just means the Beatles songs are going to get played less. Like, I'd love it if I could pull those in there because, you know, you're playing and it's like, oh, it'd be awesome if I could, you know, play a couple of these Beatles songs, but I'm not going to go and pop the disc in just to play those two songs.
Yeah, Beatles just recently got on iTunes.
Yeah.
Well, of course, they had a big war because... Apple got sued back in the 70s for being called Apple. Yeah. Apple Corps, which was, you know, the
Beatles label, yeah.
And they actually, I think the settlement was Apple could never release an audio product or something, which of course
which they did.
Well, yeah.
Obviously.
Well, that's just business. You're like, screw it.
Yeah. But Rock Band 3 is pretty awesome. And they have, like, challenges, too, that are specific to the different games. So, like, if you imported, like, your Green Day game or your Lego Rock Band, then there'll be, like, a challenge section for that specific game in there, too. And then they have, like, the pro mode stuff's pretty cool. Because, I like playing the drums a lot. And so now with pro mode, it'll actually, like, you have cymbal add-ons for your drums, and it'll map, like, the cymbal hits to the cymbals. So you actually have to do the cymbal hits like you would have to play the song, which adds another dimension to it and makes it a lot more fun. The keyboard, I've played around with it a bit. I haven't really gotten into that much, but it's an interesting addition.
Doesn't the new guitar come out soon at Best Buy?
Yeah, the Stratocaster one that's like a real guitar, but then you can also use it with the game and like play the pro mode.
So it has strings on it?
Yeah, it's like an actual guitar you could plug into an amp and play if you want, or you can... There's like a MIDI adapter thing you have to buy. I think it's like $280. But, I mean, for an electric guitar or whatever, I mean, it's...
And you can play Poker Face on it.
There you go. I mean, I've read stuff... I haven't done the guitar pro mode, obviously, but I've read stuff online where there were people who, played around with guitar a bit anyways, but then they played the guitar in Rock Band, like, on certain songs. They'd play it until they, like, learned it in Rock Band. Then they could just go to, like, their regular guitar, and they could just play the song then on their regular guitar. So it's kind of an interesting evolution, you know, that they've turned it into kind of a teaching tool to some extent anyway.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, most people, you know, they're sitting around, it's like, oh, it'd be cool to play guitar. I mean, you don't want to go in and...
Really?
Like,
I've never sat around and thought that.
I mean, there's some people that do. But most people, like, I mean, I've known some of them, and, you know, most of them, it's like, yeah, they want to learn how to play guitar, but what they really want to know is, like, how do I play, you know, song X? You know, it's like, I want to learn how to play Stairway to Heaven or, you know, whatever the hell the song is. I mean, that's the way you're going to learn is like, ooh, cool, I can play that riff from that song I really like now. You're not going to be as gung-ho about learning if you're going and getting lessons, you know, and you're learning all about charts and stuff like that. I mean, for some people, they love that, but other people want kind of that instant gratification, and so I think this kind of provides that. But now you can have, what, like 7 people playing at once, I guess, because they added...
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, because they added vocal harmonies to it, like Beatles and Green Day had, and so you can have 3 people singing.
We should tell everyone to get the sand out of their badges and come to your place and play it sometime.
Yeah, we should. Because, we got to break that thing in properly.
Yeah. Launch all Carls.
Because I did download the Billy Joel pack last night, so the whole thing. And then what was the other Black Friday deal I got? It was, they had that Creedence Clearwater Revival pack. It was like 12-song pack. What was the price they had it for? It was just absurd, like $5, I think it was. So I was like, I can't avoid this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got like all their big hit songs that everybody knows. You know,
the Billy Joel pack looked pretty good, too.
Yeah, I had to play, you know, We Didn't Start the Fire, of course. So.
Well, it had Piano Man, and it's got a keyboard. Yep. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Thanks to whatever douchey critic that was who, like, what was it? They basically kind of ripped on The Office because there was an episode where they're like,
yeah,
hey,
it was
hey,
the one
Michael,
where Michael
we got
was,
Billy
like,
Joel
fooling around
Rock
that
Band.
Maid woman.
Yeah.
And he was going to go over and do something with her, and then Pam and Jim were completely out of character and asked Micah to come over. He's like, why don't you come over to our place tonight, Mike? He's like, oh, I don't know. He's like, we've got Billy Joel Rock Band. He's like, that exists? I'm like, oh, yeah.
And then I guess, like, some TV critic, you know, was like, oh, yeah, like, that would ever happen. Like, they kind of made it sound like it would be a bad thing, you know, if Billy Joel showed up in Rock Band. And so I guess Billy Joel read about that, and he called up, you know, his agent right away, and he's like, you know, get on the phone with this company that makes this Rock Band game and figure out how we can get my music into it. And so that's how it came to be that 12 songs
are in Rock
Band.
He probably just wanted more money so he could like try to marry some like 25-year-old again.
Well, and he did say that. I guess he wrote that critic, and he said, you know, hey, thanks for your comments. It's like, I'll think of you every time I get my royalty checks.
But how much royalty check would he get from Rock Band 3? Like, nobody bought it.
There's enough people that bought it. It'll keep selling. But it's not like the other one sold gangbusters either, but...
Yeah, it sold better than the new one, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, because, yeah. I mean, the new one is really good, but, I mean, the genre's kind of in shambles at the moment.
Yeah, probably because of the Guitar Hero oversaturation.
Yeah. I guess, from what I've read, there's supposed to be, like, another Billy Joel pack coming, like, next year at some point, like, another 12 songs.
Oh, my God!
So, so he really went all in, I guess.
Yes, they didn't have all his songs on there.
No.
They just had, like, the most obvious
ones.
Yeah,
I think he's done more than 12 songs. I could be wrong.
You maybe did. They have
they have Captain Jack.
Oh, what's that one? And you just made me think of it because You May Be Right. Did they have that one?
I think that one is in there.
It's like, you may be right, I may be crazy. You know.
I think that one's in there.
Oh, they have the one about the Catholic girl, right? What's Only the Good Die Young.
That's in there. Yes. Big Shots in there.
Do they have Still Rock and Roll to Me?
Yes, that's in there.
Song.
There's what is it, Mr. Entertainer?
I am the that's the one where he's like, I am the entertainer.
And then there's
idol of my age.
There's another one too. It's like something with an S, Mr. S or
Mr. S, Mr. E.
No. Yeah, there's a bunch of good songs though. So
yeah, I saw the list on Joystick. I'm like, wow, these are all good Billy Joel songs.
So yeah, it was nice that they brought out a new pack that I was interested in, because most of the stuff they've brought out lately I've been like, eh, whatever. Like John Lennon's Imagine album, eh, whatever. They had Imagine on the disc, which was like the best song off that album. And so...
There were other songs on that album?
I guess. I listened to them and I'm like, I am not familiar with any of these and they aren't really that good. So.
Mark Chapman's like, I bought a whole disc with only one good song on it. Die!
Maybe that's what it was.
Yep.
That was the straw.
I still think he should, every time when he goes up for parole, he should tell me he was aiming at Yoko Ono.
Yeah, I mean, he'd get off right away.
Like, oh my God, we're sorry, Mr. Chapman. We'll get you out of here right now.
Yeah, that would do it.
I wonder which Beatle will die next.
Well, there's only two left.
I know.
So what is it, McCartney and Ringo?
And Ringo, yep.
I think McCartney.
Yeah.
Ringo just seems like the sort of dude who's just going to hang on, like, way longer than you would ever think.
Yeah.
Like, should he's... Well, I guess McCartney's still touring, too, but I know, like, Ringo is still touring.
He is?
Yeah, because he was on... Which show? He was on one of the late-night shows. It was back, like, when Conan was, you know, his whole thing with Jay Leno was going on, so I actually watched some of the episodes at that time, and... Ringo was on maybe Jimmy Fallon show or one of those people, but he was on there like promoting his new album and all that, and he was going to be going on tour. And I was like, Jesus Christ, I didn't even know he was like, you know, still recording stuff, but I guess he is. I think he's like 71 or 72.
See, the Beatles sang about what happened when they were 64, and they actually, some of them went past that.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, and George Harrison, where he got, like, stabbed, like, 19 times or something ridiculous, and that didn't kill him,
That
though.
Didn't kill him, yeah, he lived through that. I'm sure it didn't help, but...
No.
But, yeah, he made it through that, and then it was just, like, what, a couple of years later, maybe, was when he died?
Yeah.
It was not long after.
Remember that old episode of The Simpsons when it was still good? And it was in the future, and Lisa was getting married, and then Smithers says, oh, Mr. Burns, we'll bring Mr. Burns back to life as soon as we find the cure for 17 stab wounds in the back. And the scientist is like, we're up to 14.
Nice.
That reminds me of that. Well, let's see. What other game stuff can we talk about in the time we have remaining?
Well, there was Gran Overrated Turismo 5.
Yes, I was never a fan of that, so I really can't think it's... I have no opinion. I guess I could believe it's overrated.
And actually, overrated is probably the wrong term. Because, I mean, the reviews it's been getting have been good, but they're not, like, amazing, which
Maybe
is...
Maybe you're disappointed by it.
Which is about what they should be, I would say. But, yeah, I mean, it... I kind of had my expectations tempered a bit anyways, but then when the game came out, it's just, I play it and I'm dumbfounded. I keep trying to figure out what the hell Polyphony Digital was doing for the last 5.5 years, because the game is basically Gran Turismo 4 with, like, updated graphics and a shoddy online mode. It's really not any different. Like, the difference...
Maybe they weren't doing anything. Maybe they just did it, like, in the last 2 years. I mean, who knows?
That could be. Because it's like... Well, it's true, they did bring out, like, a PSP Gran Turismo in that time and things like that, but it's
and
just...
And Turn 10 brought out 3 Forzas in that time.
Yeah, and they're all superior. It's,
Well, like, people are going to say the same thing when they play Duke Nukem Forever. They'll be like, why did this take 12 years? But, of course, well, the version they play is probably more like a 4-year game, not a 12-year game.
Well, the thing with that game, though, too, is there was a lot of, like, studio turmoil and things like that involved and all sorts of, you know, behind-the-scenes crap going on. But like this, it was just Polyphony Digital. They've been wildly successful with all their other Gran Turismo games. They're just sitting around, you know, wanking off over every last...
resting on your laurels.
Every last detail, and it's like... yeah, I mean, it's like you play it, and it's like you go in, and all of the, like, different types of races you can do and the different, you know, collections of races, they're all called, like, the same things that they were called in Gran Turismo 4.
Hell, probably even Gran Turismo 3. Too.
Yeah, I mean, most of them are the same with, you know, updated visuals and things. I mean, they've added a few new tracks, but most of them are the same. The damage is pathetic. It's, the damage I've seen, and I actually read online that they admitted this, too, is that they said that the damage is only cosmetic. There's no mechanical damage, so the cars can't actually be affected. Break. So there's still the classic Gran Turismo move where you can just come piling into a corner at like 150 miles an hour, bank it off a wall, and keep going. And it's like for a game that, you know, claims to be like this, you know, the real driving simulator, it's bullshit. It's like Forza wipes its ass with Gran Turismo, which... I think I actually said that earlier this year on one of the podcasts. I'm like, I bet you Forza is superior to Gran Turismo when it comes
out. Remember our Hitler
sure
video?
Enough, yep.
Hitler thought Gran Turismo was going to be the shit, but in the end...
Yep, he went with Forza because it was available.
I wish we'd have made a sequel to that video.
For when it came out.
Or like when it was delayed the last time.
Yeah, like for that couple of weeks.
I'm like, it's been delayed again, and he would take his glasses off slowly.
He's like, well, maybe Forza 4 will come out before it. Which they did just announce, and it's going to be out, guess what, like holiday next year. Like a year and a half after the previous one.
Well, maybe, you know, I guess Polyphony Digital probably just rest upon its laurels and said it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, whereas Turn 10, you know, Gran Turismo's always been on this pedestal, and so Turn 10 with Forza, they keep, you know... pushing the game further and further to, you know, catch up with it.
Well, because they have to. Because
the thing with that is, it's like Forza 3, you play that and compare it to Forza 2, there's huge differences in it, like in the career mode and, you know, just the way the game plays, the way the online works. You know, they made significant changes to the game, but Gran Turismo 5, you play it and it's really not that different from a game that's 6 years old from the previous generation system.
And you say the online isn't very good?
No, it's like the matchmaking and stuff's just kind of crappy. I mean, you can go on there, you know, and race, and that works perfectly fine, but the interface feels like it's an online interface from like a 3 or 4 year old game. It's just so far behind. It's, I don't know. I mean, I know I'm ripping on it heavily. I mean, it's not a horrible game, but it's just, you know, if the game would have come out...
For the amount of time it took, it should have been better.
Yeah, I mean, if it would have come out, like, at launch for the PS3 like this, I would have been like, okay, this is, you know, acceptable. You know, I mean, it could have been better, but still, it's like, for a launch title,
it would have been expected.
You know, but 5.5, 6 years, and this is what it is. And then, like...
Always bet on Duke.
What is it? Kazunoru, whatever the hell his name is, that's, like, the head of Polyphony Digital. I saw something, you know, from him the other day where he's like, well, I envision monthly updates for Gran Turismo where, you know, we're adding this functionality and doing this and that. And it's like, oh, so basically monthly updates to complete the game is what you're going to do. It's like, I mean, we've talked about it before. It's like, it's one of the bad things in this online age, you know, is all these developers, they know that pretty much everybody's systems connected to the internet, so they can just release a game and then, you know, add crap on it or fix it later.
Well, we were talking about the, you know, we're like, oh yeah, Saturday after we get done routing or whatever, we're all going to go home and play Battlefield Vietnam.
Yep.
So, even though that's allegedly already been downloaded to the computer, I bet you there's going to be a day zero patch.
Oh, yeah, guaranteed. And it's just, it's sad, you know, it's like, I mean, it's one thing if they're tweaking things with the online component of it, you know, yeah. It's like they get the game out there and now you've got like, you know, 500,000 people playing this game, which is something that is very difficult, if not impossible, to actually simulate when you're developing the game. It's like, if you find where there's things you can do to tweak the performance and improve it in that, it's like, that's understandable, but it's like for the single player component and things like that to have to be updating that and fixing shit, it's just ridiculous. It's like, you know, the old Nintendo days and stuff, they had to have a game like nailed down.
Yeah.
Before it went out. And I mean, every now and then there'd still be a glitch in it, but it was kind of like a fun thing to find in those days.
Yeah, actually, that makes me think, what was it? Oh, people were talking about the Epic Mickey game, which came out, and of course nobody bought. What a shock.
A third-party Wii game that didn't sell?
How long is it going to take these studios? How many Mad Worlds and Epic Mickeys is it going to take for them to realize this? Anyway, and apparently it has horrible camera, like N64 camera bad.
Ugh.
And someone commented, like, well, if this was on a real system, they could fix that. They could update it, but on the they can never fix it on the Wii.
Yeah, on the Wii it's impossible. Yeah.
Yeah, so that sucks.
Yeah.
And, of course, Warren Spector was like, well,
oh, yeah.
I did Deus Ex, and so blah, 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 and people just don't understand my game.
So he's not involved with the new Deus Ex, which apparently got delayed again today?
I don't think so.
Somebody at work was complaining about the fact that got delayed today.
But I never played the original. Apparently it's a big cult game. It's supposed to be really good.
Yeah, I've never played it either. They had it like super cheap on Steam. I think it was like $2.50 during the Black Friday nonsense, so I downloaded it and maybe I'll play it someday. Because I was like, well, it's, you know, every time you see a list of like the 10 best games ever, it seems to always be on there or, you know, very high on it, usually after like Half-Life 2 or Half-Life, whatever the hell one's, always up at the top.
Yeah. Look, the last working flipper.
There it is.
Look at that.
Apparently thing. Smokey won because the black flipper is the one that was left standing.
Yep. Light cave. Well, it's true. Jacob did die before Smokey.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at that big fat flipper. Solenoid.
It's going to be awesome.
It's brand new.
So that's like the same sort of one that would have been in like Medieval Madness?
Yep. Actually, it is exactly what would have been in Medieval Madness.
Nice.
So she should be able to make lots of cool shots on the ramps.
Which is an awesome pinball machine that you can play in that Williams Pinball Hall of Fame disc for Xbox. It's
yeah,
on PS3.
Yeah, I think those games are certainly emulated better than Pinball FX, which is that one on the Xbox, the downloadable one.
Yeah.
That one's just floaty and ugh.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. And Gorgars on there, too.
And you can play Medieval Madness, a game you probably never get to play in reality.
Yeah, because it costs like $10,000 to buy one.
Well, there was an Addams Family on Craigslist for like $2,500 the other day.
Damn. Which is apparently the most popular, or it's the most...
Top-selling
like one, like 20, the biggest run.
Copies.
Yeah, but then you don't really see them available because everybody just buys them and then hangs on to them, apparently. It did look kind of cool. It had, like, the hand on the board and things like that. And Uncle Fester was on there, of course.
I won't be as cool as a lost pinball machine, though.
Well, what will?
It's going to be the greatest pinball machine ever. This is made by Team Heckendorn. The team that cares and wins.
Yes. For all time.
All right. Well, I think that's about all the time we have for today.
Yes.
So that was our podcast, and it covered...
And maybe we'll have another one in 6 months. Or
the slotification machine, and yes, we'll have to do another one some year.
Yes.
But hey, we have the Ben Heck Show. I mean, that's every 2 weeks.
Hopefully this will tide people over.
Yes. All right. Well, we'll talk to you all next millennium.
Yes. Hopefully we bitched enough for you, because I think that's popular when we...
Yeah, well,
rail against things.
Usually what we do, so.
Yes.
All right, we'll catch you next time.
Adios.